Welcome to this week's edition of Empowered by the Spirit on Immaculate Heart Radio, hosted by Deacon Steve Greco of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For the next hour, join Deacon Steve and his guests as they share their testimonies, love of their Catholic faith, and the importance of the Holy Spirit in all our lives. Now, here's Deacon Steve.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco, high atop the Tower of Hope, here at beautiful Christ Cathedral, and we have a very, very important topic today, and that's conquering fear. And with us is Michael Amola, Vice President and Producer of our ministry. It's at Empowered by the Spirit and Vice President of Spirit-Filled Hearts, father of four.
Four.
Married for how many years?
It'll be 36 next week.
36 next week. God bless you. And triplets. And another child, I guess the number one child was...
Number one child's the oldest.
The oldest, and then the triplets after that that just turned recently 29.
Correct.
God bless them all. The title of today is Conquering Fear. My brothers and sisters, we've been involved in the healing ministry for nearly 40 years, and fear is the number one enemy. It is the number one enemy, and our ability as Catholics, as Christians, to let God work within us to overcome the fear in our life, fear of failure, fear of finances, fear of health, fear of marriages, fear of finding the right person, fear for your children, your grandchildren, fear for relationships, on and on and on and on and on. Fear of the future, one of the biggest. And what is it that we have to fear when we have Jesus? That's one of the most important things. Fear is our enemy. The devil, the other evil forces try to mobilize and defeat us, try to steal our joy, our purpose in life. The devil can't steal our salvation, but can make us immobilized if we live in fear rather than the light of Christ. If we live in the light of Christ, if we live in his love, we can have confidence in Romans 8:28 that all things work for good for he that loves the Lord and is called according to his purpose. What is fear as we think about this is really false evidence appearing real, is a lie from the enemy. We know that from 1 John 4:18, there's no fear in love, but perfect love drives out all fear because fear has to do with punishment. So one who fears is not yet perfect in love. God doesn't want us to fear, my brothers and sisters. And yet life's challenges come to us. And let's start with one of the biggest challenges I'm sure that you had. All of a sudden you have triplets.
Oh, yes.
What was going on then? I mean.
Yeah, it was interesting because I was actually back in Tulsa, Oklahoma, when my wife found out that we were going to have triplets. And I remember coming back, flying back to California, all I kept thinking about was, we need to buy a different car. We need to buy two more baby seats. We need to buy two more high chairs. We need to buy two more. We need. And I won't say that it brought a lot of anxiety, but it was just all these things that were going through my mind saying, boy, this is really different. And, you know, it can become overwhelming. I was very fortunate. I had a good job and, you know, financially, that wasn't the backdrop of what was going on, but it was more about life is about to change.
And what's going to happen and how are we going to deal with it? And, you know, you talk about jobs. I know for many of us, we worry about finances. I know for me, we kept having downsides. I was in the pharmaceutical industry. I remember one time I was a regional director here in the West Coast, and there were seven of us in the office, and they were downsizing to one out of seven. And so we had to all interview and so forth, and I was blessed to get the job. But my daughter was going into Georgetown, and I remember asking the people in financial aid, what happens if I lose my job? And, you know, is she going to be able to go to school? And so, and all these fears happen, but fear is something, again, that we must understand that we can conquer through the love of Christ. Let's take a look at 2 Corinthians 10:4-5. For the weapons of our battle are not flesh, but are enormously powerful, capable of destroying fortresses. We destroy arguments and every pretense raising against itself the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive in obedience to Christ. The battlefield is our mind, and we must focus on the fact that God is our victor, and with God, all things are possible.
Yeah, that's absolutely the case. I mean, when we go on our life's journey with the Lord next to us, then the problems get resolved. For me, the challenge that I have is my humanness, and always trying to remember that it's really not about me. I'm not coming up with the solutions, but rather Jesus is there, and Jesus is leading me through those solutions. And frankly, sometimes I do a miserable job at that, but it's something that I try to stay aware of.
And Jesus is holding us by the hand. He tells us in Matthew 6:25-34, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat or drink, or about your body, what you'll wear. Look at the birds in the sky. They do not sow or reap. They gather nothing into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you more important than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single moment to your lifespan? So do not worry and say, 'What are we to eat?' or 'What are we to drink?' or 'What are we to wear?' All these things the pagans seek. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them all, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things will be given you besides. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself." Jesus is waiting for us with open arms for tomorrow. But we understand the fact that we get these anxious thoughts, and that leads us to Philippians 4, your favorite chapter in the Bible. "And rejoice in the Lord always," is verse 4-9. "Again, I say rejoice. Your kindness should be known to all. The Lord is near. Have no anxiety at all, but everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, make the request known to God. Then the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there's anything of excellence worthy of praise, think about these things. Then the God of peace will be with you." Why is that so important, Michael?
I'm sitting here with a grin on my face in that, you know, you were so kind. You went to the Holy Land a number of years ago, and you gave me a little memento, and it has Philippians 6 on it. And even last week, I was in my office, and there were some business issues that were going on. And I feel so blessed because God always reminds me when I need to be focused more about him and less about the things of the world. And, you know, this business issue was kind of getting a little overwhelming, and I could feel my anxiety building up. And I saw that little marker that was, I keep it right under my computer. And so I'm looking at the screen, and all of a sudden, I saw that, and I said, wait a minute. And I just stopped, and I read that verse, said a prayer to God, and then got on with the day. And it resolved itself. The anxiety was gone, and I knew the Lord was going to move me through it.
My brothers and sisters, this is Deacon Steve Greco on Empowered by the Spirit with Michael Amola. We're talking about conquering fear. And almost everyone has this as one of their primary issues and primary challenges. Fear is something that will immobilize you and cause you to have anxiety, depression, cause you to, you know, just constantly be in a state of worry. And that is the exact opposite of what God wants. Take a look at John 10:10. "I've come to give you life and life abundantly." Abundant life, what is that? It's not living in fear. If you look at Galatians 5:22, where we look at the fruit of the Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, understanding, self-control, and on, you don't have joy if you have fear. You don't have peace if you have fear. But what you have is just this feeling of, oh, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? And that's not what God wants us to do. We're going to get into 7 steps to conquering fear. But the most important thing is understanding how much God loves you. That overcomes everything. If we meditate on God's love, and we just read the fourth chapter of Philippians, if we focus on what is positive, if we focus on the fact that God has healed us constantly in our life and our situations, and God will continue it again. I often say, and Michael, you've heard me say this at our talks, I often say, what was the biggest problem you had 5 years ago? You take a look at people's faces, right? And they go, and most people can't remember it.
Right.
Because God healed it. Mm-hmm. God took care of it. Mm-hmm. You went past it. But somehow we think that the problem we have today is insurmountable. Mm-hmm. That God, I don't know how I'm going to get out of this one. Well, you will.
But and what you have to keep in mind is that whatever that fear was, when that finally goes away, something else moves into first place.
We're going to be right back to talk about the seven steps of conquering fear. This is Deacon Steve Greco on Empowered by the Spirit.
Would you like an opportunity to read and discuss inspiring books by bright Catholic authors? The OC Catholic Book Club offers quarterly book titles reviewed and chosen by Bishop Kevin Vann. Every 3 months, members gather to meet the author and hear informed commentary about the book by local church scholars. Membership in the OC Catholic Book Club includes 4 books and tickets to the author forums. For more information, visit occatholic.com/oc-catholic-book-club or call 714-282-3045.
Hello, everyone. It's Deacon Steve Greco with Michael Amola, who is the Vice President of Spirit-Filled Hearts, producer of the show. And we're talking about conquering fear and the challenges we all have in our life. There are 7 distinct steps that I want to cover as really a solution for conquering fear, because Jesus wants us to have that perfect love that drives out all fear. The first is faith as a shield. Ephesians 6:16, in all circumstances, hold faith as a shield to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it's impossible to please him, for anyone who approaches God must believe he exists, and he rewards those who seek him. What does that mean? When you have faith and trust in God, Jesus, I trust in you, Jesus, I trust in you, Jesus, I trust in you, Divine Mercy Prayer, Divine Mercy Chaplet. Trusting in Jesus, having faith, changes everything. It's that good thief on the cross that basically says, today, remember me when you're in your paradise, in your kingdom. And it's knowing the fact, as it says in Jeremiah 29:11, that I give you a future full of hope. And knowing the fact that good things are going to happen, as we said in Romans 8:28, all things work for good, for he who loves the Lord is called according to his purpose. Knowing the fact that, as we just read in Ephesians, to hold faith as that shield. Knowing the fact, as it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:15-18, pray without ceasing, in all circumstances give thanks, for this is the will of the Lord in Christ Jesus. How are we giving thanks in all circumstances? By faith, by knowing the fact that somehow, some way, God is going to make this thing happen. And you were in a situation, Michael, when you lost a couple gigantic customers in your business. Mm-hmm. And I remember meeting with you, and you were drawing on that faith big time. But tell us the story about what happened.
Well, everyone went through the financial crisis of 2008. And, you know, I guess I'm proud to say that my major institutional client was on the front end of that financial crisis, in that Lehman Brothers was my biggest institutional client. And everybody understands today that they were the first major financial institution that was not too big to fail.
And this is property management?
Yeah, in property management and real estate consulting. So we ended up, we suffered the loss of that client, and my partner and I had had a real estate management consulting firm for 26 years. And we lost that that major client, and we retooled, as you would do when you lose a major book of business, and God had allowed us to continue forward. And then less than a year later, we lost our largest individual client. And that truly was the beginning of the end. I mean, we just knew that it wouldn't work. We couldn't continue on with the company. And you're right. My partner and I ended up meeting with you one morning at Starbucks, and I remember the place. I remember the time. And thankfully, both of us, my partner and I, are people of faith. And we knew that we needed to draw on God's power for an answer. And, you know, anyone who has any experience in unwinding a business that's been together for 26 years understands there are complications. And frankly, you know, you talk about anxiety, and that's probably why Philippians is such an important part of, you know, how I view the world. You know, we didn't have the answer, you know, and all we knew was to reach out to people who we consider their counsel of value and pray. And we had a lot of obstacles in the year as we were closing down the company, not the least of which is to try to keep the clients that you still have, a small amount, and, you know, your universe is changing, but nonetheless, try to keep them. And there was a lot of prayer, and there was a lot of reaching out to people who worked with us. And what's interesting, and I think this is true of many of us, if we culturally are involved in our faith, it seems that a lot of the people who are around us are faith-filled people. And yeah, that was our case. Yeah. I mean, you know, our CPA is Catholic, you know, our attorneys are Catholic. I mean, and so we were able to reach out to these people, and we didn't know the answer at the time, but we trusted that God was going to move through our lives and help us resolve those problems.
And I remember that you had a sense of peace, and your partner had peace, but maybe a little bit less, you know, mm-hmm. seemed like a lot of anxiety. Now, which is understandable. It's not being,
absolutely
not being critical, because the reality is the very first thing you think of is, especially as a male, but certainly male and female, I'm sure are the same. But as a male, as a provider, you're thinking, how is this going to happen? I have a mortgage. You have four kids. I've got all these responsibilities, all these bills and so forth. And if you let it go, that fear starts taking in. And that's where faith has to take over.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And even in our times of biggest need, it's important. But even in everyday life, it's important because, you know, as I've heard said, and I believe strongly, my mind is a bad place to hang out by myself. I need people.
Amen.
You know, I need input. And it's really important to me. I mean, you know, my faith journey has expanded and grown stronger, certainly in these last 10 years and being involved with the ministry. And, you know, I'm thankful that my mind is triggered that way, that when things are getting difficult, reach out to the Lord.
Amen. My brothers and sisters, take that advice. Put Jesus there at the center. Ask for faith. Ask for that gift of faith, because it is a gift. You know, I'll try to make this very quick, but I was in pharmaceuticals, and at the time I was general manager of California. And we had a product for cholesterol, and there was another product that came out that was quite a bit cheaper. And I got letters from every major managed care company saying that they're going to throw my product off formulary, mm-hmm. all at the same time. And my managers at the time, I had like seven managers in California. It's a big company. The managers at the time were panicked beyond belief. Mm-hmm. And I had a conference call, and I said, this is an amazing opportunity that God has given us. Mm-hmm. And I know you're not supposed to talk about God, but I did anyway. And I said, we have to have faith. We have mm-hmm. to trust, because they want to make a change. There's another competitor that's on formulary. Maybe they're the one that could be thrown off formulary instead of us. And in fact, I've said this to somebody recently. I started to go to Mass every day at that point, mm-hmm. every day, but in praise and thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. For what God was going to do. He threw off our competitor from every formulary. I doubled market share. to the point where I got promoted three times after that. The CEO of the company went out and came out and said, you know, what are you doing? You know, your sales are so amazing. And I think the bottom line is that when we have faith, God takes over and it transforms us. And you can't have fear when you have faith.
No. And even in the smallest of things, and I think that's something that I would tell our listeners, think about the times when it's the little things. And the little things don't necessarily prompt us to think about the Lord. But in all things, we need to think about the Lord. And, you know, when you can call out and you can call out to Jesus and you can have him, you know, be with you, be beside you, be part of what's going on in your world, those things heal and they get better.
Amen. So the second point is what we've been talking about is seeking the love of Christ. Again, in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So surrender your heart to Jesus. Seek him with all your heart, soul, might, and strength. Matthew 5:6, fourth beatitude, blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. When we hunger and thirst for the love of Christ, when we hunger and thirst for him, everything changes. When we love him with all of our heart, soul, might, and strength, then he gives us that courage. He gives us that strength. You know, we've talked about Philippians 4, which is, again, so powerful as it relates to dismissing all anxiety and making sure that we're focused on the right things. But there's another important part of Philippians 4. And Philippians 4:13 talks about how we can draw upon his strength. And it says, I have the strength for everything through him who empowers me. Everything. When we seek God, when we seek his love, when we seek his power, he will give us our strength. And then, of course, verse 19, and this is again Philippians 4, says, my God will fully supply whatever you need in accord with his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. So whether it be losing your top clients, as you did, Michael, or on the verge of losing most of the business that I had through in managed care in pharmaceuticals, when we trust in God, when we realize that he will supply what we need when we need it, everything changes. Everything takes over, and we no longer have that fear that will immobilize us. God works miracles through faith. My brothers and sisters, we are empowered by the Spirit, and that's what it is. The Spirit takes over in our life. This is Deacon Steve Greco. We're going to be right back to talk about the next 5 steps in conquering fear.
An idea for summer vacation? Why not join Bishop Kevin Vann and Bishop Tim Fryer for a first-of-its-kind Catholic cruise from Long Beach to Ensenada, Mexico. You'll be entertained by acclaimed musician Francis Cabildo, music ministry director at Santa Margarita High School, and director of Christ Cathedral Music Ministries, Dr. John Romeri. You'll also have the blessed opportunity to celebrate Mass at the Cathedral in Ensenada. It's all happening July 21st to the 24th. For info, call Travel of Orange, 877-538-0010, occatholic.com/travel.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco. We're back high atop the Tower of Hope on Empowered by the Spirit, and we are with Michael Amola, one of my most favorite people on the face of the earth, Vice President of Spirit-Filled Hearts, our ministry. You can get us at deaconsteve@spiritfilledhearts.org. That's deaconsteve@spiritfilledhearts.org. And he's also a producer of our show, and we're talking about overcoming, conquering fear. And we conquer fear by faith. We conquer fear by surrendering our heart, soul, might, and strength to Jesus, seeking the love of Christ. And the third point here that we're going to cover is we conquer fear by repentance. Now, you say, well, how does that work? Well, it's interesting because it works because God said, come to me, and I will take on your challenges. I will take on... And my yoke is easy and my burden is light, you know, as it says in Matthew. So he's saying that fear no evil. Psalm 23:4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Psalm 27:1. The Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When we repent of our lack of faith, it makes a big difference.
It does. And you know, for me, it's not necessarily something that I was doing consciously, you know, but what I have come to understand is, as I repent of that lack of faith, not only does my faith grow stronger, but peace in my life becomes more dominant.
Yeah, and it is so important. And it leads us to really the fourth area, which is trust. As Psalm 118:6, the Lord is with me, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Again, we've talked about Divine Mercy Chaplet. Jesus, I trust in you. Psalm 115:11, you who fear him, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. So as we think about trust, it's something that is so critical. And I remember literally standing in a confessional line and having a conversation with the Lord, covering my normal things that I will say in a confession, you know, don't do this, don't do that. And I was asking the Lord, I said, well, what should I repent? What do you want me to really focus on in giving this good confession, this good reconciliation? And the Lord just blew me away, you know, and it's something that came out of the blue. I did not expect it. The Lord said, I want you to repent of your lack of trust in me. And how do we know whether or not we're trusting God? Do you want to control everything?
Yeah. Where's your blood pressure? You know, where's your anxiety? Because that's become such an integral part of how I think these days. I remember just recently over the Christmas holiday, you know, I was by myself in the kitchen, mind wandering, thinking about things that were going on, you know, in my world. And I could sense my anxiety building up and, you know, my blood pressure starting to elevate. And I had to stop and I had to draw back on the Lord. And that is, you know, the beauty that our listeners, if they didn't take a whole lot away from what we're talking about, think about that. If in your time of need, you're transformed and you think about reaching out to the Lord and calling on the Lord to help you with whatever your problems are, it's just a tremendous opportunity in your life.
And this is where, again, the first chapter of James kicks in, is that when we ask for wisdom, we must believe that he's going to give it to us. Otherwise, we're like that wave that's tosses and tosses and tosses, and that's kind of our mind. You know, we can't sleep well.
Right.
You know, we have all this anxiety and so forth because we're not trusting God, because we don't believe that he is in charge and that all things are going to work for good. And in all circumstances, give thanks. We don't understand the future. It drives us crazy, though.
No. And you know, because we don't understand the future, we try to control the future. And it's our pride that doesn't allow us to step back and allow Jesus to step in. And you know, unfortunately, that's my frailty as a human.
And it's that parable, the man who was very successful and had all the grain in the barns.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you know, I'm going to eat, drink, and be merry. And, you know, I've like conquered it all.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus and God said, no, you're kind of foolish here because tomorrow you're dying. And so we don't know what the future holds. What we do know is that when we trust in God, it will be blessed. It will be blessed and full of hope. When we trust in God, there will be all kinds of wonderful things that happen. So we don't need to fear. The fifth point that we want to get into here, and the 7 points of conquering fear, is protection from evil. Now, we are in a war, my brothers and sisters. Whether we realize it or not, we are in a war. The Catholic Church teaches it. There's a spiritual warfare. There is evil out there. There are demonic angels and so forth. And while they're all created beings, and greater is he that's in us than he's in the world, as it says in 1 John, we need not fear evil, but we must be aware of it. Ephesians 6:11, put on the armor of God so that you may be able to stand firm against the tactics of the devil. Now, how do we know what the devil's tactics are? Well, we say, again, we've talked about faith as being a shield against the flaming arrows, also in chapter 6 of Ephesians. When we get these thoughts pop in our minds, now, it could be our own thoughts, again, Ignatian spirituality. It could be our thoughts. It could be God's thoughts. It could be the enemy's thoughts. But often the enemy will prey on our own thoughts. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's something that pops up in our own mind, our own weakness, or maybe the enemy plants it there. Regardless, it turns out to be something that brings us down. Again, in Ignatian spirituality, it talks about desolation, moving us away from God, to have that thought move away from God, or consolation to move towards God. So once we start getting these thoughts that are not building up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're not positive.
They're not positive.
They're not positive. And I am very aware of that. And I say the simplest of prayers when that happens, when that comes into my mind, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus. And, you know, that thought goes away. You know, the Lord understands that, you know, I'm in conflict, and the evil one is trying to do something with me, to me, that is not of the Lord. And when I have the presence of mind to call on the Lord hears that, and he comes to me.
My brothers and sisters, do you ever notice that when you're doing something good for other people, when you're serving God, building up the church, serving the poor, when you are involved in some spiritual event, it could be a conference, could be just going to mass, whatever it might be, all of a sudden, maybe the day after, maybe later in the day, you know, these thoughts pop in your head, or these fears start happening about the future, your kids, your family, your spouse, your health, whatever it might be, because essentially you've touched the hem of the garment. Essentially, you feel so close to God, you have that joy, the devil hates that. And so we have to recognize it first. There is, in 1 Corinthians 12, there is a very important concept, a teaching of discernment of spirits. It's one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So we have to discern when we get these thoughts. Now, what's going on here? I was all joyful. I was all happy. I was all focused on Jesus. Now, all of a sudden, I'm focused on me. I'm focused on myself. And when those things happen, as Michael said, we can just pray the name of Jesus. We can pray the blood of Jesus over our mind, body, family, and circumstances. I often pray from the top of that person's head, or my head, the bottom of my feet, cover me with the blood of Jesus, the blood of Christ. Going to Mass, daily Mass, conquers fear in a huge way because we receive Jesus.
Amen. You know, and I think about that often. I have gone to daily Mass for a number of years now, and I remember early on when, you know, I started to go to Mass during the weekdays occasionally, and what I came to recognize, it was steps, it was baby steps, but what I came to recognize was, how blessed am I that I can modify my schedule and I can get to daily Mass every day and I can receive the body and blood of Christ and I can be in the Lord's presence. And, I mean, what a blessing. What a blessing. And, you know, it's kind of one of those things that every day it reinforces me. And it's just like taking a meal. It provides nourishment. And it allows me to get through the day with a spiritual basis to my life.
My brothers and sisters, there's a reason why the Lord's Prayer says, give us this day our daily bread. And I realize that that daily bread could be the actual bread. But when Jesus said, I am the bread of life, somehow I think there's a connection there.
Absolutely.
That we are to receive him as the bread of life. every day. Now, why is that? Or certainly as often as possible. But why is that so important? Because we need that protection, my brothers and sisters. It's not optional. We treat it as optional. And we try to conquer fear ourselves. We need Jesus. We need his spiritual strength to conquer fear. And it's so important. And finally, using the rosary, letting the Blessed Mother take over our life gives us that spiritual protection. The Blessed Mother interceding for us. All those things are important. This is Deacon Steve Greco with Michael Amola. We're on Empowered by the Spirit. We'll be right back to talk about the final two steps in conquering fear. This is Deacon Steve Greco. We are back on Empowered by the Spirit, and we're talking about conquering fear. Seven steps. The first step is have faith. Second step is seek God with all our heart, soul, might, and strength. Third is repent. Repent of our sinfulness. The fourth is trusting God no matter what you see. And again, 2 Corinthians 5:7, walk by faith and not by sight, trusting him. Fifth is use protection via the rosary, the body and blood of Christ, the sacraments, praising God, we'll get into in a second, but use protection in order to help you overcome fear. The sixth is focusing on hope. And we have a surprise guest. Along with Michael Amola here, we have our great engineer and one of the greatest people on the face of the earth, Jammin' Jimmy G, Jim Governelli.
Oh boy.
Is on the air live, not live, but nevertheless, live in my mind. And Jimmy G, you are awesome beyond belief. The sixth point in overcoming fear is hope. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know well the plans I have for you, plans for your welfare and not for woe, so to give you a future full of hope. You were in a situation fairly recently where you kind of had things pulled out from under you, a station that you'd worked with 23 years, all of a sudden decided to go a different direction. You have four kids, you know, a wife, not knowing what your future is, and you wanted so much to be here working at the diocese, working with this radio, all these radio shows that you do and you engineer and do so well, but fear had to pop in, and the importance of relying on Jesus for hope was certainly one of the things that I know you ultimately did. Your thoughts on that?
Well, yeah, Deacon Steve, well, it's a joy not only to be on your show, but I put the shows together, so it's a blessing. I've learned so much from you.
Don't cut this out, by the way. Don't this part.
You know, I won't.
Put
this
it on
isn't
twice.
An edit.
No, don't edit yourself.
Edit myself. Yeah, you know, for the longest time, for a handful of years, I'd say 5 or 6 years, I've been working multiple jobs. You know, living here in Southern California, let's face it, depending on where people can hear us right now, there's a certain level of income that you need to be able to have just to be able to survive, to pay the mortgage and to pay this and that and medical bills and this, that, and the other. So I had been juggling some different positions. My wife works hard with the kiddos, but she doesn't have an income outside of the home. So I was basically juggling three different positions. And one of those positions, Deacon Steve, as you mentioned, was at a local radio station here, Christian talk station that's very popular. And I was the morning host there for a long, long time. And some of you might recognize my voice. I don't know. But yeah, they laid me off and it came as a surprise, partly because they weren't really paying me all that well, but it was just one of the positions I had that I enjoyed, you know, live on the air every day. And so that layoff came as a surprise. But for a good year or so, I was really hoping and praying that this position here at the Diocese of Orange would go full time, because I thought it's a perfect job for me because I've worked in radio for so many years. I am a cradle Catholic, and it had been my prayer for years. In fact, Deacon Steve, I don't know if I told you this, but a number of years ago when I was really starting in my radio career, we're talking the early 90s, like 91 or 92, I actually wrote a letter to Bishop McFarland.
Awesome.
And he wrote me back, and I still have a copy of that. And basically, in my desire at the time was I wanted to work for the church. I wanted to work in some capacity for the Catholic Church. And Bishop McFarland sent me this beautiful note back where he basically said, hey, we need good Catholic brothers and sisters to be working in the media. We need them to be working in the secular world.
Mm.
And I remember just thinking, wow, you know, I just reflecting on that. And I was about 25 at the time. And it really hit me hard in a good way. And so, yeah, I've been laboring in the broadcast market here in Southern California for many years with different highs and lows. But this is where the Lord has brought me now. And I cannot begin to tell you how thrilled I am to be able to come here to the Tower of Hope several days a week to work with you, to work with Peggy Normandin and a number of the wonderful people that we have here, and to see this thing grow. It really has grown a lot. And
Amen.
I'm sensing that we're going to have a lot more growth here, too. So,
you know, my brothers and sisters, God has to close a door in order to open a door.
Right.
You know, and we talked about your prayer in wanting to work full time for the diocese. And it's not quite perfect yet, but we're getting there. And maybe it never will be. But the point is that you see God's hand working.
No question about it. Every time I drive into this campus and I park my car and I come into the studio, it's hard for me to wipe the smile off my face because I'm just so filled with joy to be here to have the opportunity to rub shoulders with Bishop Van and just some of the incredible people on this campus. So, yeah, I mean, we can't count on everything going perfectly well. And when things are going really well, you know that the bottom's about to drop out. But the bottom line is, it's an incredible blessing.
When my mother was on her deathbed, the Lord gave me this verse, Romans 15:13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace and believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Michael, to go full circle back, you lost two of your biggest customers by far, and yet you have survived and flourished.
As I am fond of saying, I haven't missed a mortgage payment or a meal, you know. And the reality is, and as Jim was talking, and I reflect on this often, before the beginning of time, God knew that the three of us would be in this
Amen.
Radio studio.
Amen. Amen.
And, you know, he has moved in our lives in all sorts of different ways. And I never would have been able to work with you, Deacon, in the development of Spirit-Filled Hearts. Never would have had the time to be able to, you know, produce this radio show. And just the many different things that have enriched my life, which, you know, have happened quite by accident. You know, and just as Jimmy was saying, he was in a situation where he was doing something, you know, for 20-some-odd years, and yet God said, at this point in time, I have something different for you.
Mm-hmm.
And he has moved you in this direction. We are really blessed, let me tell you. I praise the day that, you know, the opportunity came up for Empowered by the Spirit to be recorded in this radio studio. And that's what we have to count on. We have to count on God has a plan for us. And it's challenging. It's difficult. And my business has maintained and is continuing to grow. I'm talking to a potentially new client now. And God puts these building blocks together, and he helps us create our life and strengthen our life. And for me, you know, he has strengthened my faith.
And this leads us to our seventh point, and that's praise. We need to praise God in all things again, because in all circumstances, God will use that faith, that praise, that trust. As we take a look at the Psalms, you know, we're told in Psalm 150 again to praise him in all that we think, say, and do. So praise changes things. And as we take a look at these 7 points, the first point is that we must believe and have faith. And when we have faith, there is no fear at all. We must have love, because love conquers all fear. And we must, in that love, understand the fact that in seeking God with all our heart, soul, might, and strength, that we get that love. We must repent of our unbelief. The fourth point is we must trust God no matter what we see in front of us. We must use our tools of protection, the rosary, scripture, prayer, pleading the blood of Christ, all the different tools to make a difference. We then must realize the fact that hope will change things. The more we hope, the more we believe, the more that we let God fill our hearts, then we will have that joy, the joy of the Lord. And finally, when we praise God, as it says in Psalm 22, that God inhabits the praises of his people, that our lips must form a sacrifice of praise. And Isaiah talks about we are created to praise. Praising God is talking about his attributes. You're the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the great I am. You are my healer, my redeemer, my savior. You are my Lord and my protector. When we praise him, our life changes. My brothers and sisters, in the name of Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we ask the Father to drive out all fear in your life. We ask that that fear, that darkness be replaced with light. We ask, Lord God, that you be filled with every spiritual blessing, and with every spiritual blessing, that you be given that grace, that you no longer need fear in your life at all or have fear, but be conquered by the love of Christ. We say this through the power of your love, the power of your Holy Spirit, the intercession of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, Our Lady of Guadalupe, the Immaculate Heart of Mary, and I bless you with every spiritual blessing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. God bless you all. We'll be with you next week at the same time.
We're thrilled that you joined us today on Empowered by the Spirit, right here on Immaculate Heart Radio. Empowered by the Spirit is a production of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For more information about Spirit-Filled Hearts, visit our website, spiritfilledhearts.org. That's spiritfilledhearts.org. If you've been encouraged by what you've heard here on Empowered by the Spirit, contact us by email at empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. That's empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. We hope you'll tell a friend about our program and ask them to join us next week at this same time. We look forward to being with you again right here next week on Empowered by the Spirit on Immaculate Heart Radio.